There's no doubt. You read through there, through that first chapter of Romans, especially that latter half, and it looks like the history of where we are and where we've been that was written 2,000 years ago. It absolutely looks like our history already written. We started on that topic, Romans 1, Wednesday, a week ago. Brother Surface was out of town, and I shared something. And I want you to consider this. We didn't get a television set till I think I was 12, 13 years old. And there's a lot of good merit to that. But we grew up just because we weren't going to have a television set. But, you know, what was on television then is nothing compared to what's on television now. And we didn't have a television, mainly part because they didn't want our minds filled with what was in the television. And it's nothing in that day compared to today. But I remember a program that came on, and I shared this Wednesday night a week ago, and it was The Odd Couple. I remember The Odd Couple. It seemed like a funny little program, and Brother Surface did not like that program. Would not allow us to watch that program. And I said, Dad, it's just, you know, a couple guys, circumstance don't. He said, it's not. It's more than that. It's preparing your minds for something to come. And I told you last Wednesday night, I didn't really think he was right on that. I thought he saw a boogeyman behind every tree, you know. And sure enough, he was there. And I can look back even at some of the statements that the lead actors made many years later in their life, and even what turned out to be. And he was right on, dead right on target. That's what that program was about, was preparing your minds for something to come. And it's tenfold, 10,000 times more today. And I brought that up because now I'm the one that to some see a boogeyman behind every tree. I shared this with Sister Karen. At first she thought I was crazy. But I shared this, I said, Dear, you ever notice that commercials make men look like idiots? And she said, Well, no, they don't. I said, Well, sure they do, but you don't notice it because you're not a man. I said, But commercials are geared to make men look like idiots. And I said, Mainly because women spend the money. And if so, you're appealing to someone that spends the money, you don't want to make them look like an idiot, so you make the man look like an idiot. And honestly, I'm not offended. I probably could add a lot to those commercials and some things I've done in my life that would prove the point. But at first, and she'll be honest, first she thought I was just making it up. And then it just seems like, you know, hardly a week goes by. She goes, There it is again. Some commercial and the poor, clueless guy is stumbling along, and the wife is the one. And that may be close to reality in a lot of lives. I don't know. I hope not. But I just pointed that out. I said, See, I'm not just seeing a boogeyman behind every tree. And so I want you to watch just for something that simple. I want you just to watch and see if what you see on the commercials, by and large, don't make the man look like an idiot, because, ladies, you spend the money. Generally, as a general rule. But I'll say this, and I've got to get onto my message this morning. I pointed out that five of the ladies' talk shows are hosted by open lesbians. And it just was just natural, and they're sweet, and they're nice, and this. But I just pointed out that that's what's not only feeding you, that's what's feeding your daughters. That's what's feeding your grandchildren. And it's not a matter to say, you know, well, let's get vigilant and get the torches and get... That's not issue. But it is an issue to say, wake up. Wake up. This history's already been written. It's already been written. And you can follow the course that is taken. And so, wake up, have understanding, because so much of out there is not geared for you. It's geared for your sons and your daughters, your grandsons and your granddaughters. We went home Sunday night. I think it was Sunday night, or maybe Monday, and just flipped on a program that you would think was geared toward teenagers, you know, action and heroes and all this, you would think was geared toward that. And I'm sitting there with Karen, and I'm watching it, and somebody's on a phone, and you just see the lady talking to the lover of life, a man in the program. And as the camera slowly, slowly sweeps over, another woman rises up out of the bed and gets on top. And Karen just goes, "Oh, my Lord," and instantly she turned the thing off. But it was something geared to teenagers. And that shook me, and I just turned it off. And I know you can find it out there. And it was on a detective show. Same thing happened again this week. Same thing. And I went to bed that night, and I was troubled all night long. That's the only reason I'm bringing this up this morning. I wanted to deliver what God gave me and leave it and go on. But I was troubled all night last night. And I heard something. It wasn't an exact quote of a scripture, but I heard it all night long. And it was this. It's kind of a combination, actually, of two scriptures. But the scripture would be, when an unclean spirit is gone out into the world. But there's also a verse where John said, many false prophets are gone out into the world. But I hear it combined, that many unclean spirits are gone out into the world. And they're seeking. Jesus said that spirit seeks rest and finds it's not. And it's looking for houses, looking for homes. And I want to tell you, it's looking for our sons and our daughters. It's looking for our grandsons and our granddaughters. And I heard that all night long, just troubled. And I knew that the Lord was speaking to me through that. And I won't tell you something that will tear you apart. Because it wasn't that this is coming. It was this is here. And these unclean spirits have gone out into our land seeking our sons and our daughters. Amen. Now, I've got to leave that. How do you leave that? 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Some of you, if you weren't here last Sunday morning, you understand why I thought maybe I ran everybody off. 9 through 11. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I want to read that 11th verse again. And such were some of you. And how many would agree to that? Amen. Such. You say, well, not specifically, but pretty much. Such were some of you. How many can say, I haven't forgotten that? Amen. You know what? And I'll say this, you won't forget that, God will. And I'll say that, if you won't forget that, then God will. That such were some of you. And he puts it in the past tense, and that's what we're going to talk about a little this morning. I'm going to try not to go a long time this morning. But don't talk about the past. in the present. We were last Sunday night in the song service. My message was changed, a song that Robin and Marty had sang. And so I went over to Hebrews 10, and we just talked about the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Christ as opposed to the sacrifice of the goats and the lambs. But he starts this. He said that if that sacrifice that was offered, those sacrifices that were offered under that old covenant, could made the comers thereunto perfect or complete. And I'm going to stop again on that word, because perfect is a word that just blows everyone right out of their seats. I'll say this. I in no way, shape, or form describe or think myself perfect. Now, there's some of you that I might hold up a little higher, but I in no wise, shape, or form, I don't think I'm the perfect preacher, and you don't have to say amen to that. And I can list some of the things. I listen to myself on a CD or a tape, and I say I'm too loud, I'm too long, I ramble, and I go off chasing rabbits, imagine that. You know, and I'm too strong, you know, all those things. And so if I were in my image, don't imagine that. I don't imagine myself to be the perfect husband. I think that my wife has put up with a lot, not of abuse or unfaithfulness, but I can't remember anything. I can't find anything. I'm disorganized. Just go down. Maybe that is what a perfect husband is. I don't know. And on and on. And in any way, shape, or form, I don't think I'm a perfect businessman. My goodness, the things I forget, the loose ends, just name it. And how many can identify a little bit with me? You know, when you start looking at what you are, you know, who's the person in this place that says, I'm the perfect, you know, good thing. And I don't. And so that's a word that just blows people away. And yet it's in the Bible. And it's in the Bible over and over and over and over again. But it helps to understand that that word is actually a completion. And that a completion, and you said, well, what's complete? Well, complete is whatever God wanted, whatever God specified, whatever God said it would be, then that's completion. That's complete. And we dealt last week, but before we go on, that really the completion that even you find in Hebrews was what Jesus ministered about in most of his ministry, everywhere he went. But he said, you wash the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of extortion and excess. How many have ever done dishes yourself or had someone do dishes and they didn't do a complete job? Did you do a complete job, Cynthia? Inside and outside, were they clean? Well, that's what Jesus was talking about. You say, I've washed the outside. Well, you hadn't completed the job, because no one's going to drink out of that cup. No one's going to drink out of that cup. It's filled with vileness, with extortion in excess. And so that was the message of Jesus. He said, you're like whited sepulchres. You're beautiful to look on. A beautiful house. What's the problem with it? The inside is full of death. Dead men's blood. Outside is white, lovely, whitewashed, whatever it is, stone, great craftsmanship. Inside's full of death. This is not complete. This will never do. Jesus said, it's written, thou shalt not commit adultery. How many believe that's good? Thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said, I say unto you, you look upon a woman in your heart to commit adultery, you've already committed adultery. Jesus said, that's not complete. To say, well, I've never done it, and it eats away at your heart and your soul and your mind, and you know, and it's staggering. Someone pointed out to me that might have been Brother Surface, might have been James, but they say now that 60%, something like that, of men in the church that have an addiction to pornography. Well, I'm going to say that 60% of the people in the church do not. I want to say that, and I'll say this something else. No one in the Church of Jesus Christ has an addiction to pornography. Amen.
I'll say that. Now, there may be some in Calvary Outreach. I don't know, and I would trust not to, but I will say this, that there's not one in the Church of Jesus Christ. But that is a staggering. How many of the preachers? 50% of the preachers? It's not a boogeyman behind every tree, it's a boogeyman behind half the pulpits. Many unclean spirits are going out into the world. Scripture says that those sacrifices could never make the comers complete as pertaining to the conscience. They had things that could do something for what people saw, but couldn't do anything for what only God could see. He says in this passage that we took, he said, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. Let's go over to Romans, the third chapter. 23rd, probably through 26 there. For all have sinned. Raise your hand if that includes you. For all have sinned. Do you like that? Are you proud of that? Does that make you rejoice? You see, there are people that scriptures like that make them happy. That's their security, is that everybody else is like this, and so if God's going to judge me, he's got to judge everybody. But it is the truth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm going to ask you again, not to raise your hand again, but you say that that's me, I've raised my hand, then you already have a past that's unacceptable to God. You already have a past. You say, well, I'm just a kid. You understand that scripture. You already have a past that is unacceptable to God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. And I said we're going to talk about your past, because I've got a past, you've got a past. And here we see Jesus offered that sacrifice, the propitiation, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness, His justice, for the remission of sins that are past. I want to say that it, remission of sins that are past. This passage of Scripture, I believe as much as any passage of Scripture in the Bible, is going to hold men of God guilty when they stand before Him. Because I cannot tell you, and it's not from just certain groups or movements or types, but universally, you'll hear people stand up and quote this Scripture and base upon this Scripture that Jesus is set forth for the remission of your sins, past, present, and future. And He just doesn't say that. Matter of fact, if He had said for the remission of sins, you could just suppose. But He doesn't. He specifies which sins He's talking about, doesn't He? He specifies which sins He's talking about, and it's the sins that are past. That's yours and mine. That's the such were some of you. And this remission, and I know Brother Surface, going through the study, has touched on it many times. I'm sure I have too. Is the only place in the Scripture that remission means something other than freedom. Only place in the Scripture. It's a totally different Greek word, and it means toleration. Will God tolerate your sin? Yes, if it's in the past. Amen. Did I make that up? Will God tolerate your sin? Yes, if it's in the past through faith in His blood. Will God tolerate my sin? Yes, if it's in my past through faith in the blood of Jesus. Because I have a past, and you have a past, and I haven't forgotten my past. And my past is something that I couldn't cover up, and it's something that I couldn't deny, not and be truthful. I have a past, and I've told you many times, if I start to think upon it, it'll tear me up. So I quit thinking upon it, but I don't forget it. I don't spend my time on where I was and what I was doing and what I was doing in the night hours and the dark hours, in my imaginations, in my heart and my yearnings, in my activities. I don't spend my time in that. Scripture says it's a shame even to mention. And that includes mine. But folks, I have a past. And you have a past. And Jesus Christ is set forth that if you'll look to Him for the toleration, is that the pre-remission? Of sins that are past. That thing that breaks your heart, Jesus Christ set forth. If you'll trust Him, that God won't look upon your past. For the remission, for the toleration of sins that are past. And I dare not add anything to that or take anything away from it. Amen. Through the forbearance of God. What's the forbearance of God? The holding back. I myself, and I'm sure many in this place could look at your past. And if you thought about it, you're wondering why you're not in hell today. Amen. Amen. Why? Because God has forbearance. Holding back because of your faith in Jesus Christ. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time. Now, a word that is missed in this next verse is the word this. And I just believe I understood what this was saying. But it's a word that's always related to time. And all except maybe a dozen, I think like 128 times, it's translated as now. Being now justified. And it's, you've got a past, and you've got now. And what your past is, you can't change. And I'll tell you something that some people find hard to swallow. God can't change that. God can't change your past. And I say that's hard to swallow because God can do anything. He can't change your past. There's a lot of things God can't do. As a kid, I knew God couldn't lie. And He can't change your past. It is what it is. But if you'll trust, have faith in the blood of Jesus, He'll tolerate what you were. He said, but to declare. The word I say, in your Bible, you're probably going to see it in italics. It's not really in the text. It was added years after the translation. Because he's given another thing that Jesus, being set forth, declares. One, he declares, you see Jesus hanging on that cross, and that's how most people see him when they come to the Lord, set forth shedding his blood for your forgiveness. That's what we call forgiveness, the remission, the toleration of your past. But if it's forgiveness for past, then that by itself says then it can't be present. If it's forgiveness for past. If he had just said for forgiveness, then someone could rightfully say past, present, and future. Well, not rightfully, but they have a right to suppose, I guess. But he says past. But then he said Christ, he set forth to declare his righteousness at this time. Or at this now time. This, in the word, is present. When you first saw Jesus hanging on that cross, I promise you, you was carrying a guilt of sin. And you brought it to Him, trusting Him. And there laid that heavy burden of the guilt of your sin down. And received forgiveness. I'm glad for the forgiveness of God. Man, I'd be in trouble. That had to preach that gospel to me before I came out of the womb. I'm glad for the forgiveness of God. But forgiveness is about past. And I've got a present. I've got a this time. I've got a now. Those 50% of the preachers in pulpits across our nation addicted to pornography have a now. Those 68%, that just boggles my mind. I mean, that just blows away everything I thought I would have ever understood about people. They have a right now. When they hear an over and over and over about forgiveness, what the Scripture says is for the past, and they found nothing that does anything for them right now. Lift up your eyes again. That same Savior's hanging there for right now. He's hanging there for your right now. He hung there for your right now. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier. You know what a justifier is? Regardless of what the theology of at least 50% that are in our pulpits addicted to pornography might say. But a justifier is someone who makes things right. The word justification or justice and righteousness are the same words. Just and right are the same words. They're just different ways of expressing the same thing. Righteousness is justice. How many of you ever seen something, heard something, like the English Parliament? They still stand in Parliament and plead for righteousness. They don't use the word justice. They plead for righteousness. And a justifier is one that makes things right. Jesus set forth not only that God would be just, righteous. We say, He's righteous, yes, but He's also the one that makes things righteous. Amen. And that's what you need for now. That's what you need for this time. Amen. Before you create another time that you're pleading with God to put in your past, you need that one that hung there for your right now. Amen. That would make what is wrong right. Let's go to Ezekiel 36 and 25. This is the promise of the new covenant. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, you shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree, the increase of the field. You shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. And he's talking in this prophecy, a promise of when he gives you a new heart and when he gives you a right spirit, he's going to become your provider. He's going to become your caretaker. He's going to become the one that watches over you. How many believe that? That as He became your Savior, but you found out He was much more than that. And He was the one that met your need. He was the one that ordered your steps. He was the one that watched over you. He was the one that carried you. And He says, after I give you a clean heart and a right spirit and a new spirit, He said, I'm not going to stop there. If I describe the months, years, early coming to the Lord. I want to describe something. I want someone to tell me if I'm describing what you went through. But you came to the Lord, and you'd go out, and just so real and wonderful, and it just seemed like you would ask Him the simplest thing, and He would do it, and it would just break you all up inside. Huh? I'm not the only one like that. Just the simplest thing, and you're there. You're there. You hear me. Lord, you're with me. And it just seems like it's like that little babe that mom is holding, carrying, and feeding, nurturing. And you just feel that, and just so overwhelming that you find out that He, yes, He forgives, yes, He cleanses, yes, He's the Savior, but He is so much more than that. He is everything. I will multiply the fruit of the tree, the increase of the field, and you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Now, how many remember that? In the midst, the Lord just showing Himself so real and so wonderful. And then, Trish, you remember, Lord, you did this for me. For me, for such pitiful creature like me. Then He said, and you will loathe yourself. You shall remember your own ways, your doings that were not good. You shall loathe yourself in your own sight for all your iniquities. He's not talking about, well, I hate myself. How many have ever heard, God's forgiven you, you need to forgive yourself? I asked last week, maybe it was, if I took the life of your child, you may not believe it, but I believe that you'd have the grace, probably after a time before God, to say, I can forgive that man. But you'd never want in your life to hear that that man forgave himself. Anybody hear what I'm saying? He didn't say that when you saw all that I'd done for you, you'd forgive yourself. He said, when you see all that I do for you, it's after he's done it. He said, you will loathe yourself for your iniquities and your abominations. You'll remember your evil ways and your doings. I don't tell you this. God will forgive your past, maybe some strange things, if you won't. Now that's turning things around like they ought to be. There may be someone here that needs God to make their present their past. You say, well, the only way to do that is wait till tomorrow. No. If you just wait till tomorrow, the thing you need the Lord to do today will still be with you tomorrow. It will still be your present. The only way something truly becomes your past is when the Lord takes it away. And then there becomes a difference between your past and your present. I'm not going to turn there, but in the book of Hebrews, Scripture says where remission of these things is, there's no more remembrance. This is something the Lord helped me understand years ago about. The Scripture says, I will remember no more. I've heard people say that if someone asked God about it, he'd say, I can't remember. That's foolishness. Probably the best explanation for that statement is what Jesus said concerning a woman in labor. I mean, women remember labor. But Jesus said you wouldn't remember it. Now, you're contradicting the Lord? Didn't he say that? He said that as a woman is in travail with a child, she's in pain. But when the child is born, she remembers no more the pain. So how do you ladies remember the pain? Let me put it differently. When you think about your child, do you think about the pains of labor? No. And that can happen 5 minutes later. And that's what Jesus said, to remember no more. They can pull it up in their memory. I start telling Karen, well, if it wasn't that bad, she'll straighten me out fast. But the remember no more is because it's past and something else has come up in its place. And whether it be that child or whether it be a new life, a new heart and a new spirit, a new man, a new woman, a new boy, a new girl. Something else has come up in their place. And you don't remember the pain of it. Because you're rejoicing in what has come up in its place. And that pain has been put in the past. And God remembering things, he was talking about every year they had to offer another sacrifice for their abominations of the past year. And it was same thing all over again. How many have ever gone through that in life? It's dealing with people and it's the same thing all over again. Well, I want to tell you this. In truth, only He who is eternal can take something that is and put it in the past. And if He puts it in your past, you'll loathe it. And He'll tolerate it. You'll remember it. But He won't. And we got a past that used to be your present. See, that's the rejoicing. My past is that used to be my present. A child of God, your past is that which used to be your present. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Wonderful Savior. Amen. No wonder I like saying hallelujah. Or glory, glory. Or thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I still look sometimes, Lord said, you did this for me. Yes, but He died to do this for all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus.